Viva la vegan! Hello, I'm Lee Chantel from vivalavegan.net, and with me today is Stuart, and he's a vegan from Geelong, which is in Victoria in Australia. How are you, Stu?
Good, good. I'm happier. Well, happier. Today is my second anniversary of being vegan, so it's pretty appropriate for
this interview.
Yeah, very
well,
appropriate.
I'm glad that we finally got to do the interview today then. So I'm glad it happened on your second year anniversary. That's really good.
Yeah.
And you just tweeted me about that this morning, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I included you and the Vegetable Vegan Twitter handle. I think about 2 hours ago, and because I'm always up during the night, but yeah, I'm very excited. It's been a long road.
Yeah, so very... congratulations.
Thank you.
What have you learned in 2 years?
I think it's a really hard question to answer in the morning. But I think mainly to accept that some people don't understand maybe what a vegan is. I've got a few friends who think, like, legit think all I eat is tofu and that's it. You know, like, just like tofu dogs, tofu burgers. I love tofu burgers. Tofu is tofu that just the furniture is tofu, everything. But
that would be quite boring.
Yeah, that would be. And I'm a guy who believes that if you can find something you love and connect that with your beliefs, then chances are better off down the road, and that's what I've always done. Around my room, I'm not going to move anything because I'm terrified too. But I've got plenty of vegan shoes. I think six pairs at the moment. They're all from band shoes that I've loved over the years.
So bands have certain shoes with their branding on it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Like the Misfits, I collaborated with the shoe company Draven. Not their entire shoe company is vegan. And shoe line, I mean. And there's quite a few Draven shoes with the band logos on them, like Motley Crue, strangely enough, Slipknot. I saw a pair of Sex Pistols shoes, which I'm going to get as soon as I get some money. I like to stand out. But, you know, my favourite band, AFI, I don't know if anyone would be able to see this, but AFI, Tadu, the body in my room is, the body in my room is absolutely terrible.
What do AFI mean to you, the band?
I really don't get that question a lot, to be honest. People just know I like AFI and they go, whatever.
I know how much of a fan you are, so they must mean something quite a lot to you.
AFI, A Far Inside, the complete name. They're a band who of four guys, Davey Havoc, hence the Havoc part of my Twitter handle, Jade Puget, Adam Carson and Hunter Bergen, just wanted to start a band because they love music and they weren't trying to emulate anyone else. Although they've, throughout their careers, well, the career of AFI, they've they've done covers for a lot of songs and they've introduced me unwittingly to a lot of bands like The Cure, Misfits, Depeche Mode, Rancid, obviously, and they're not a band who tries to They're not a band who got to a certain point. They got to a certain point, but they didn't alienate their fans as much as some people might try and tell you different. But they're a band who, loves their fans truly. I know every band does, but there's been a few bands who've gotten to a certain point. They're like, well, the people who want to put our records out, and what people who want to, people higher up, are pretty much our biggest fans now. So, but AFI is just an amazing band live. I've seen live twice.
Yep.
Both in the same week, amazingly enough. But yeah, they're a band who loves what they do. They don't. They're not a band who, I guess, relies on labels. The lead singer, Davey, is a vegan, has been for close to 20 years, I think. Hunter, the bassist, is a vegan as well, and Adam and Jade are vegetarian.
That's good.
Davey, I actually tweeted to her earlier. It was about 2 a.m. And thanked him for inspiration. Whether or not he replied, who knows.
So did he inspire you to go vegan in the first place?
Yeah. It wasn't just him solely. I remember I really tell this story. I was on Facebook, shows how long ago this was. I think about almost 3 years ago now. And I was talking to this young lady by the name of Rory, and she had her Facebook name was Sweet and Tender Hooligans, which is a song by the Smiths. And we connected became friends over Facebook through common interests like wrestling. We're both straight edge. And so she said, well, all right, we could be friends if you want, if you don't mind me putting all my vegan stuff up, that's showing up in your feed and whatnot. Your Facebook, do what you want. As long as you're not selling me nuts or propaganda, I don't really care. I remember she posted something, I think, about, if I remember correctly, something about young Chinese girls under the age of 10 being forced to do slave labor and in their bikinis or stuff like that, skin animals alive and stuff like that. Something really horrific. And I remember she got a lot of response from posting that, and I thought, well, this is what happens to animals. I don't want any part of that. And I've known a lot of people over the years who are vegan, and so that's always been there. But that was really when it got the train of thought, I guess, to think, well, okay, animals deserve a life as well. So it wasn't until November that year, I remember sitting outside my house at 1:30 in the morning. This small, humble, two-room apartment, flat unit, waste of space, shoebox. Mum and I were watching soccer, so we're from my mum, obviously. We're both huge English Premier League fans. I remember sitting outside with my cat. Not my cat, apparently, according to a neighbour. I'm sitting out there, and I remember thinking, I lived the same life for so long, and I was going up to TAFE the next year, I was like going to completely reinvent my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember thinking, well, you know, I wanted to, I mean, perfect world, I wanted to go vegan like that.
Mm.
But I actually tried, I think, about the beginning of March the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gradually tried to cut out meat from my eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to go straight vegan without the gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
My body just went into overshock overnight, mm-hmm. or aftershock, I think. So I went back to meat for like 2 weeks after that, and then like I think about another couple of days later, I remember going vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
mid-March, 2012, and I think it was like vegetarian for like 3 months, maybe 2.5, give or take. And I remember April 30th, which coincidentally was a Wednesday, as we are on now. I was eating a lot of vegan products, like all the fries range, which I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Their mushroom pies are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my body receiving it really well, and I remember thinking, well, I mean, I was going to go vegan on my birthday that year, and so it could be something I remember. But I thought, well, you know, why not now?
Mm.
And so ever since then, it's I've been vegan. I've just tried to cut out. I mean, I cut out all animal products, eating wise, but yeah. Over time, I tried to cut out as much as I could until I could completely do it, the wearing and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was vegan in the food sense,
yeah.
Which I tried to tell people. I didn't want to tell people I was 100% vegan when it appeared that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I remember my birthday that year, I got to go to Melbourne. I was planning on going anyway. And I went to the now closed Radical Grocery Store in Melbourne, which is amazing. And if it wasn't that store, we wouldn't have, well, I mean, we might, but it wouldn't have had the effect that has had since it opened. The cruelty free shop, we got Mad Cow Girls Vegan Grocery in, it's like Preston. So we got it, and I remember walking into that store September 10, 2012, mm-hmm. which is my birthday, so I put that out there in case anyone remembers. But yeah, I remember walking there just buying like as much stuff as I possibly could, and I thought, well, finally I found a place where I can actually be accepted. And you know, from there everything's just taken off, and I think the best way for new vegetarians or vegans to really embrace it and make sure they stay on that path is to just get out and travel. Like, you don't have to get out and get on a plane and just land in any city. So, yeah, look up on the net, go, okay, well, I've got this here, I've got that there, all the way over here. And a lot of the time, doing it by yourself is probably, I don't want to say it's a rite of passage. But it's more more human growth, you know. You think, okay, if I can do this by myself, sometimes I'm going to be alone in my beliefs, and this is the best way for me to go here and for me to go there. And that's how I've always done it. Like, if I, you know, because a lot of the food I liked is, I mean, I eat a lot healthier than I did back then.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if I want something that's vegan that's not here, it's, yeah, well, okay, I'll wait until payday and go, and that builds the excitement and anything. Okay, well, you know, I mean, that day I found Lush, found other places, and it's, you know, you find all these places where people go, oh, yeah, vegan, wow, that's great, and then you think,
yeah, and you can meet new people too.
Yeah, and then, you know, people go, wow, that guy came all the way from, you know, Sleepy Hollow, which is what people call this town.
So how far are you from Melbourne, the main city?
Well, it depends how you travel, really.
By train? How far by train?
About an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't bad.
Yep.
I think it's a bit quicker when they do express.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you got to really pick your train to actually go by express.
Mm-hmm.
But by car, I guess it really depends how fast you're traveling. But by train, how I always go,
mm-hmm.
It's about an hour, which is the time goes really quick.
Mm.
But it's always fun going up there, and I'll be going up Saturday to volunteer for Animal Liberation Victoria for their vegan bake sale.
Oh, cool. Where are they having that?
I think it's like the Eco Centre in St Kilda. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. It's,
I'm on the committee of the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And you do a lot of other volunteering as well. I know with Animals Australia, you do a lot with them.
Yeah, I did. I'm taking a break from there. Taking a break from each other. I had to focus on some other stuff, so I thought the door's always open for me to come back, but I just wanted to, you know,
maybe try another group.
Yeah, and I've been wanting to volunteer.
Oops, I think we just lost you there, Stu. Okay, so I'm talking to Stuart. He's a vegan from Geelong. So I've got Stu back now. I don't know what happened there. But Stuart, do you want to maybe speak about Straight Edge? Tell me, what is vegan Straight Edge?
Well, in my opinion, I don't think there's no correlation between the two. I think, from my point of view anyway, I think in the mid to late 80s, a band, one of my favourite bands, Minor Threat, they made a song called Straight Edge, and that's what started the whole movement. And in the early 90s, it was a rebel, vegan movement, and people saw Straight Edge as, you know, obviously no usage of cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, and so I thought as an extension of that, to abolish animal products as well, and then, you know, from then people just took on the vegan and Straight Edge. But to me, Straight Edge is, I mean, it's not, I don't know if it's necessarily movement. It's supposed to depend on who you talk to.
And where you are.
Well, where I am, yeah. It's not a movement here. But, you know, it's more about having respect for yourself, obviously. I remember seeing so much stuff regarding alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and whatnot, that made me think, I want any part of that. And I've never liked alcohol, anyway. I mean, I have had alcohol a few times throughout my life, but so I've only been straight edge for about, I only claimed it for about 4 or 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's the right choice along with veganism. But I, I know a lot of people who smoke, I know a lot of people who who drink and whatnot, and all the other stuff. Veganism, I always try to see it from other people's point of view. The more I try to make other people see that drinking is wrong, cigarettes are wrong, drugs are wrong, whatever. And as an extension of that, to make them think eating animals is wrong,
mm-hmm.
from and make it their fault, I think is a wrong move. Yeah. And I think, it's not gender specific. I mean, I've got a few female friends who are straight edge as well. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to be certain someone. You don't have to be part of the hardcore punk scene. You don't have to be part of this. You don't have to be part of that. It can just be something you do to, like, for you and to go, oh, okay, losing your house or whatever and everything else is what happens to you when you drink, I don't want to drink. If, what happens to you when you do drugs, I don't even have to go into that. I'm not going to, the last thing I am is preachy. I don't like to preach anything to anyone. I think if you're doing it for you, then that naturally shows anyway. But it's, more just self-belief, someone's a little different, to not let, not worry about what society says, it's up to you, do what you want to do, and, I've always taken that mantra on, and I'm a guy who, it's one of my favourite sayings, I'm a guy who feels if I'm not getting something I need from somewhere to me, I don't cry about it, it's going, I'm going to go over here and, get what I need from there.
Mm-hmm.
And, the whole, I've never found drug use anything other than immoral and, now I am being preachy. I just find it distasteful and, Toby Morse, lead singer of Hoax Tomorrow, great band, he goes around the schools and in America and whatever and talks to high school students about, the importance of PMA, which is positive mental attitude, and the importance of that attached to high school life.
Mm-hmm.
Because teenage years, as people have said, as the old saying goes, teenage years are the most important. And so he goes around, he talks to high school students and he tells them you can achieve anything you want with a positive mindset and a positive attitude and a positive mentality. And he's always, you know, him and David Havik are good friends, so there's a lot of correlation with that. But yeah, there's, you know, it's more just believing you can achieve, you know, say, undergraduation, postgrad, degree, bachelor, whatever else you want to achieve, you can do it through positive mental attitude without the need of,
and without drugs. The need for alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, and so I think that's what I always try and tell people when they go, well, yeah, don't you miss meat or don't you miss this? Yeah, the old common vegan questions that, anti-vegan questions, I guess, that we get. But, I love a lot of film stars and whatnot that are vegetarian and vegan. One of my favourite film stars is Linda Blair, who was the star of
The Exorcist. Scariest,
greatest horror, well, one of the greatest horror movies of all time. I think Halloween may be better.
I love that book too, The Exorcist book. It's really well written.
I haven't read the book. I've been meaning to find it somewhere and give it a read because I've heard that it's a lot more, a bit more extensive than the movie. It's all they can actually do with a book than they do with the movie. But Linda Blair has been vegan for close to 30-odd years now. And I got the chance to meet her last year. That was really cool. She came down for, I think, like the 40th anniversary of The Exorcist. But, you know, and that's what I was talking about before we got cut off, to connect what I love into what I believe. And the more I do that, the more I think anyone else does that, like, I know 30 Seconds to Mars is one of the mainstream popular bands. They're a really good band. Jared Leto, the lead singer, is devout vegan, has been for years. So I think people like him are pretty good people, I guess, to illustrate in the mainstream society that veganism, I mean, he's 42, but I'm never going to look that good at 42.
he is lovely looking.
I look like this now and I'm 23.
See that the documentary Artifact about his band?
I've heard a lot about it.
It's really good. Really, really good. About how 30 Seconds to Mars took EMI to court because they believed that they owed $30 million to them or something. It's really amazing. Yeah. Really good sort of, I think people that maybe want to make money from the music industry or in the music industry, I think they really need to see it.
I've heard it's amazing.
It's really good.
And speaking of podcasts, I was listening to Jared on the podcast because I was hoping he'd mention vegan something at least, but I think there's any mention of it at all, unfortunately. He was on the Nerdist podcast with Chris Hardwick, which is another, probably my favourite podcast apart from this one, obviously.
Thank you.
He was on there talking about Artifact and how musicians get paid this when... I did some research, I think about a month ago, that like musicians wouldn't get paid anything in the 1950s. Like if you were, you were a band starting out, you wouldn't get paid anything until you actually made it somewhere. But now you get paid for showing up, apparently. I do want to see Artifact. I do know of it. It's going to get Netflix somehow.
Well, I watched it on just I a friend of mine who works with iTunes, we just watched it on his TV that had iTunes connected or something. So you just do it online like that if you want to do that. Mm. But yeah, I couldn't find it online to view.
I'm behind the times with technology. I've got a laptop, but yeah, it's going through a couple of problems at the moment. I have no idea what to do. I'm a 90s kid. I'm a product of the 90s. I love Daria, I love The Simpsons, I love shows and movies in the 90s. So much that I centered my whole life around it. And now we're in 2014. It's like I've wandered out of a space capsule and I have no idea where I am. I love shows like Seinfeld, Daria, Simpsons. I'm just trying to look past, the Monsters. I got Complete Monsters collection. It's 1960s, so that's 30 years behind. Shows like Law and Order. I have a very eclectic taste. Stuff like Home Alone, which is always a classic, up to 3 and 4 when they butchered it.
Well, you say you not really kept up with much stuff, but you know, online you're on Twitter all the time. You keep up to date with people on Twitter, don't you?
I'm Twitter crazy. It's easy to use for me because I do it through text. Because all I like to do is go to Twitter Mobile and send it.
Yeah.
Text, it's very easy. Which is also another reflection of how behind the times I am. I don't barely have to lift a finger to connect with people. like I'm some kid behind a computer in his mother's basement.
and if anyone wants to connect with Stuart, his Twitter handle is Stuart Havoc, and I'll spell that for you. Remember the at symbol. It's StewartHavoc.
I should probably mention there's no C, it's just HOVOK.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, it's strange because a lot of people see heavy Canadian, HAVOC, and someone is amazing, and David Heavy comes on, and he's got the OK, and he's just throwing a C out the window.
and so what do you share on Twitter?
Everything but my life story. Mm-hmm. I think if you troll through my Twitter account, it's on there somewhere. I connect with a lot of people who like AFI as much as I do, who like same TV shows. I try and keep up to date with my favorite musicians, TV shows. I follow a lot of friends on Twitter. There's a couple of people I've known for a couple of years. Gifts for the Geek, comic book store down here, probably really one of the shining lights down here. They've been amazing to me and how they've got me into comic books and how they've got me into, I like to be accepted with a store I accept, and there really hasn't been a store in Geelong in the amount of too long years I've been living here. It hasn't accepted me the way they have.
That's
good. I'm a good cinema myself friends with everyone in the store. I know the manager, Darren, we've known each other for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I share a lot on Twitter. If I can't sleep at night, I'm texting thereby, tweeting all night.
And I find Twitter's good to connect with people too. Like you were saying, you connect with people that like bands or even the bands themselves. So I feel with Twitter, a lot more people will message you back or connect with you back. Like Facebook, other places don't seem to have that as much.
Yeah, yeah. I found on Facebook you really have to kind of know the people first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really, you know, add someone and go, hey, yeah, what's up? So like, yes, and I probably can't talk. I do the same thing. But you know, it's Twitter is more open, and I think like the. I don't follow a million people. I don't have a million followers. I think I've only got like 17 on there at the moment. But, you know, I think what I share on Twitter and who I follow and who follows me on Twitter is a reflection of my life in general. I just surround myself with whatever makes me happy. Yeah, like Batman. I love the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is to the right of the camera. But yeah, there's so much stuff that I love, all from before this century even began. I connect a lot of people with a lot of people on that, and I'm hashtagging probably far more than I should. But I just, I think about 5 years ago, I used to be so anti-social media. Like, I hated Facebook and I hated everything. I just sort of didn't see the need for it. And then when my interests started to broaden themselves out, I thought, well, okay, that person's on Twitter, this person's on Facebook, if I want to talk to them, instead of following them halfway around the world, which I wouldn't be able to do anyway. Just go online and connect with them, and, always, I'm not a celebrity, obviously, I'm lucky after this, but... the way I look at it is, regarding veganism and regarding this and regarding that, it puts you out there more, but it also gives you an extension of yourself to go, for other people to go. I remember about 15 years ago, the people I saw on TV, I kept wondering what, it's an example. Kept wondering what the cast of Blue Heelers were up to. that was one of my favourite shows. I kept thinking, what's John Wood up to now? I think I've been on Twitter a few times and then I've left. And thankfully, the people I talked to I remembered and have remembered me. But the amount of people that follow me, it's like the amount of vegan pages on Twitter that follow me, it's Vegan Smart, a great. Entertainer and musician that should really be more well known. He and I talk a lot on Twitter. And he actually, I know you're not really that much of a fan of petitions, but he signed my Ban the Live Export petition that I've got on there, which is almost reached its full quota of signatures, which is awesome. And I think without Twitter, without me being on Twitter or Facebook, I might not have had that platform to go, this guy, is just a normal, regular, everyday guy who, when he needs to, puts on a funny yellow shirt, dyes his hair red, and grabs a carrot and a microphone and he sings.
I met him and his partner actually in Melbourne at the cruelty free shop opening.
Oh, I wish I could have done that. Mm-hmm. I really need to be somebody. That platform to go, okay, well, this guy, you know, like I said, is just a regular guy. But, you know, to have his signature on there is pretty cool. I mean, he didn't share it, like, on Facebook or Twitter, because if he did, then, you know, people would just get, you know, undated and walk away. But, you know, I think Twitter's good for a lot of stuff. The way I look at it is, it's kind of like the whole world having a cell phone number, which can be good and bad, you know, depending on who has it. But, you know, there's a lot to Twitter, you know, I think. A lot more positivity to Twitter eternally than there is to Facebook.
It's definitely on Facebook. I think so. But then, you know, you hear people, well, anyone can say anything online, can't they? And sometimes you get some really horrible things said on Twitter.
Last week, someone tweeted me about telling me what PETA do sometimes. This is not the greatest organisation in the world, apparently. I've heard some rumblings about what PETA have done and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, as you said, some people can be mean on Twitter, but I went through that guy's profile and he was pretty much dedicating it to hating on PETA, suddenly picking people out, and I thought, well, lucky dip, you know.
There's people that live just to be, like, you know, negative towards a person or a group, or, you know, that's all they seem to care about, which is a bit sad.
Yeah.
So, Stu, how would you suggest people get involved with veganism?
Find, you know, look at what you like, whether it's a band or TV show, or there's a lot of TV stars who are vegetarian and vegan. One of my favourite shows, Big Bang Theory, the lady who plays Amy Farrah-Fowler is a vegan outside of the show and on the show as well, which is a massive success
for her. Oh, she's vegan on the show, that's cool.
Yeah, she's really passionate about veganism. She's not going to sit there and eat a chicken and go outside and kill herself. I'm vegan. I think to just go out and find something you like and go, like, luckily for me, I found AFI and I delved deeper into their history and David's passion for veganism and his passion unwittingly rubbed off on me, because he needs to be vegan for pretty much the same reasons I have now. There's a lot more. For, you know, the animals, the people, the planet and himself. And he's always been himself in that regard. He hasn't, you know, told people, you know, in his song, hey, go vegan, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think just find something you like. You know, I mean, 30 Seconds to Mars are a pretty popular band. And they're a pretty good band as well. And, you know, just find something you like and, you know, put that person up on Google. Apparently there's nothing sacred on Google. But, you know, it's find something you like and connect with it and go from there. And then, you know, the deeper you get into it, you know, you can find message boards where people go, like, people are already talking about, oh, this person being vegan or that person. You know, I read that a lot of people over the years have gone vegan, mainly because of the lead singer of AFI.
Cool.
And, you know, because, like, Toby Morse, H2O, lead singer, is vegetarian, and Australia is as far as he's, I think putting the positive spin and the positive message of vegetarianism and veganism, it's not all about what, regarding some stuff that people think Peter do, it's not about what an organisation or a group does, it's about what you can do to be positive.
How you can positive. Use what exists,
Yeah, and to go, okay, well, I don't like what happens in factory farms or animal testing or, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, I was really lucky also to find Animals Australia, and I found a lot of people on there. One of my best friends, who's been friends with me for months now, we met on there. We just hit it off and shared so many, many interests. We'd be here for 2 hours if I ran through them all. But, you know, just find people who, you know, like the same stuff you do. And I think what I've found is not to, is if you have to surround yourself with people who are going to put you down, to always remember the people who, to always remember why you're doing it. And a good friend of mine from America, who loves sci-fi as much as I do, she said the other night she's going to try to be vegan again.
Cool.
And I gave her, I tweeted her with a bit of advice to make sure you're doing it for you. As much as an inspiration as David Havoc is, I think I remember reading something you said that if not doing it for you, then somewhere along the line the message gets lost and you think, well, if you're not committed to being vegetarianism or veganism or anything, then sooner or later you're just going to burn out. And, you know, over time, you know, the message you'll have, will fade based on, you know, based on committing. The fact that, you know, you didn't do it for you. So, you know, like I always stand up for what I believe in. So I think it's another important thing. It's, I think it's something people should be taught from a young age, regardless of what they're eating. To always, you know, to remember that sometimes if you slip up, it's not the end of the world. Like, I mean, unless you're around people who are going to throw you out for slipping up.
Yeah, just do it all at your pace and do the best you can,
And so that's, I think, the best way to approach it is learn something you like. And, you know, go from there, because the more you like, you know, say, Big Bang Theory or Bones, just throwing it out there, or the more you like this band, or the more you like the message or whatever, the more you're going to think, yeah, I agree. I agree with the Smiths, their song "Meat Is Murder." I agree with example. I would mention Gary Urofsky's speech, but I watched it. I think it was earlier this year, maybe towards the end of last year, and I didn't like it. Thought it was too overly preachy. I just shoving the message right in front. It was funny in parts, but that I understand what he was trying to do, and what he was trying to do was great, but I think it's coming out wrong. On Twitter, I'm probably going to get scolded for that. But
yeah, some people have been really affected by what he's done, or a lot of people actually.
But yeah, I mean, what he was trying to do was great, but I think, you know, it just came out wrong.
Just his own style, maybe.
like showing the positive effects of vegetarianism and veganism, and then over time leaving that person or that group to learn about perhaps the, I guess it's the negative side of the cruelty, because sooner or later you're going to actually have to watch some cruelty. But there's a lot of people out there who promote it very well, like Linda Blair. She's got her own dog foundation research, I think. But people like it's another example. I don't want to mention the same people over and over. Another example. Another example.
But you're just saying find the ones that do it well, find the ones maybe that you resonate with the best.
Another person I thought of was Natalie Slater, who, I mean, isn't a celebrity by any means. She's a vegetarian, and well, vegan, whichever one she prefers. And she runs her own it's like a food recipe blog or something, like cakes and stuff like that, and nachos and all the
Do you know what it's
vegan
called?
food. Bacon Destroy, which
Okay.
is, it's really, I mean, it's really fun. It's a sort of a punk rock spin on veganism, which
Cool.
appeals to someone like me. But she is based in Chicago. Sorry. She, I mean, she's covered in tattoos, which is another appealing factor. But she portrays veganism, vegetarianism, and whatnot very positively,
Cool.
and is another inspiration of mine. And so, people like her, and it's likewise, like I was saying, I mean, I love punk rock and the ideals and the DIY culture. And so to find someone who likes the same music I do and to, believes the same stuff I do, I think that is a, should be the first step everyone should take when they want to become vegetarian or vegan, which is to find something you like look at your musical interests or whatever, and resonate through that. But yeah,
Well, you've given
start.
quite a few ideas today anyway, Stuart. Thank you. And
You're welcome.
thank you very much for taking the time out to speak with us today.
You're
And
welcome. Thanks for having me.
no problem. And yeah, make sure you follow Stuart on Twitter at Stuart Havoc, which is Stuart STEWARTHAVOK. Thank you, Stu, and enjoy
Yeah.
the rest of your day.
I will. Thank you. You too.
See
Bye.
you.